Hey, it's Santa Delta Whiskey here at Ham Nation. And coming up tonight, we've got a great show. We've got a visit to K3LR and Tim Duffy. He's got a huge new antenna going up. And also, we have a visit from a man who wears this manner of clothing. All kinds of cool stuff coming up next here on Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 380 for December 12th, 2018. K3LR antenna projects and a visit from Santa.
Hello, everybody. It's holiday time and welcome to Ham Nation. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Not that we don't other nights, but going to be really a lot of fun. So you want to pay attention here. Everybody listen up, watch up, because it's going to be fun. And I'm glad that you're here. I also have on board Mr. Gordo. How you doing, Gordo? Nice to see you.
Well, thank you. And we're back from Arizona. And I want to remind everybody this weekend, Jim, WX4TV, says that the whole family, Faith, Hope, and all the kids are going to be down at the Dry Tortugas operating November 4 Tango. And to learn more about this weekend special event at the Dry Tortugas, go to hamradio.world/activities and best success. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Well, it's good to see you, and we'll be back to you in just a little. Don is here. Don, how are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm just doing so good. If I was doing any better, I'd explode. Hey, I want to tell you about what's going on at WTWW because, you know, it's Christmas time and they're playing all the greatest Christmas hits of all time on 5085. If you got some pics of your shortwave receiver, I sent one in. You go ahead and get it all decked out for Christmas. Send a picture of your radio, your receiver, whatever you're listening to, the great Christmas songs on WTWW on. You could be a winner for the best dressed radio. It's really simple. You send those pics to email at WTWW.us, and you can call the WTWW Merry Christmas Worldwide Hotline. Tell the world about your family, your city, anything else you want to share, and they'll put you on the air. 833-390-5085. And again, the email address is email at WTWW.us. I got some Christmas cards I'm going to share with you all of it later on. But we got a big show tonight, Bob. So back to you.
Okay, very good. You're looking great. Well, I had a really great trip a week before. I went out to Talmadge, Ohio, and you know what's there. There's a building you can land an airplane on. We had so much fun. Tim Duffy was a great host, and Mamel was just the greatest tour guide. And I took some pictures. We went over to K3LR, and I want you to see his wall. Look at this. The next one, they're just wall after wall, of course. This is the first slide of some of the awards. There's some more awards. And we have a third award. And there he is with them, Mr. Tim Duffy. Guess what? He's live. Hey, Tim, how are you? Thanks for taking taking us on a tour. It was really great. Good to see you. You doing okay?
Doing great, Bob. It's always a very special time when you come out here and visit. So we were just really excited to have you, and all the things that we did at DX Engineering here at K3LR and then at the Mercer County Amateur Radio Club. Very, very special.
Yeah, it was. And while we were there, you showed us around the station, and it was just incredible. I got a couple of other pictures, but you have a lot of pictures tonight. I'm just going to let you narrate these pictures because this is really, really a special event. So everybody watch this because you're going to learn something, I'm sure. And take her away, Tim. Let's see what's been going on there in your K3LR antenna farm.
Well, you know, we had a big surprise that happened on the night of field day, Bob. There was a drunk driver drove into the yard here at K3LR and hit one of the guy wires that holds up the tower. And that was a bad situation because the tower sustained damage, the antenna sustained damage, as well as the guy wires. So it was an unexpected big project. And Victor has some slides of some of the work that went on. Here is, we're setting, this is the first 100 feet of the tower that was set with one of the cranes. And you'll notice on the top of the tower, there are three small wires. They're actually, that's a 2-watt wire that was actually welded around all the joints. So all of the joints in this tower are now CAD welded, which increases the conductivity of the joint and also reduces any chance of RFI. And as we progress here in these slides that Victor has, this is the top of the new tower. This tower, all the towers here at K3LR are made by Pyrod Valmont out of Illinois. And this is the top plate with the DX Engineering 3-inch thrust bearing. And you can see it's all mounted and getting ready. The guy ears are there for the top set of guy wires. And then the next slide shows the 350-foot crane that came in to remove the old tower and then came back several weeks later and put up the new tower. And so oversized load could only be transported during the week, not on the weekends. And a massive crane. You know it's a big crane when another crane comes with it to build the big crane. So that's what went on here. And this was responsible for doing all of the tower work. And these are two of the new 20-meter antennas that had to go up. This is all DX Engineering aluminum and coax. And these are six-element OWA Yagis on 50-foot booms. And here you can see the crane on the right. And the crane is putting the antennas on the tower for the tower crew to get. All these antennas, as you can see, are mounted on ring rotators so that they can rotate around the tower. So here is the crane with one of the four. There are four 20-meter OWA Yagis on this tower. And so you get 24 elements on 20 meters, which puts out a good signal. Here's the top 20-meter beam going on the top of the tower. And you can see the chokers there from the crane. And the two tower guys all belted in, safety belts, doing things the right way, getting everything set on the top of the tower. And you can see this mast, which is a 3-inch galvanized mast. We have steps on it, so you can climb up the 15-foot mast to get to the 80-meter dipole that is mounted on top of the mast. And while we were on the tower with the tower crew, they put... we did FaceTime with our iPhones so that we could actually see the VSWR tests right from the feed point of the antennas up on the tower. So they would put their iPhone on their safety helmet. And the next slide shows I could see the rig expert remotely using FaceTime and see what the VSWR looked like so that we made sure if there was any problems, we could bring the antenna back down. All of the antennas, there are 10 different antennas on the tower. They all swept perfect, but this was a great use of cellular phone technology to allow us to see the VSWR live from the top of the tower. And so it was thumbs up, and we were ready for the CQ Worldwide contest. Here I am with the 80-inch Geochron flat screen TV. We've got two of them here in the shack. And one of them is behind me here, and you can see we were getting ready, and we had the big iron ready to go. Here is during the CQ Worldwide CW contest, which was just a few days before you were here, Bob. We were operating, and you can see all the operators in their chairs, And boy, we had a great time. 48 hours and over 8,000 contacts. It was a big, big weekend.
Wow.
And here's the crew that operated here at K3LR. And they came from the West Coast. They came from London, England, G4TSH, from Ontario, VE3RA, and also from Houston, Texas, K5GN. So K1TO from Florida, all assembled. Great CW contest men. And we had a great time here at K3LR. So that's how I spent my summer vacation, Bob.
No, there's no other way to do that. the only way you could do that is go visit with Don and help him put his tower up.
we're going to get there. You know, a tower that is sitting horizontal just doesn't do any good. So we got to get it.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
No, it's sad, Santa. Something that I want to bring up. I'm just thinking about this as this all comes into being. I should have thought about this early, and you could have helped me with this. But I want to show everybody, why do you have stacked antennas? You got what, four of them? Why do you do that, Tim? What's the response when you do that?
Well, we do it to increase the gain, and so we are also, so the gain of the array, the first stack. So if you take one antenna and you put the second one in, now you've got two of them, you get 3 dB more than just one by itself. To get the next 3 dB, you got to double that. So so basically we've got 6 dB more than the single Yagi. But what else it does, and I showed you when you were here and they're behind me, some of these antenna switches that allows us to actually switch how many antennas are online at a given time, and it actually varies the takeoff angle. And that's very important on every amateur band, because sometimes you want low angles, sometimes you want high angles, depending upon what's going on with the ionosphere, what's going on with the time of day, and where we're trying to communicate to. So those stacked antennas gives us maximum flexibility. And on 20 meters, we have four. On 15, we have four. On 10, we have four. And on 40, we've got three. But, you know, those antennas are a lot larger. And in terms of wavelength, it's harder to get a four high stack on 40 meters. We'd have to be over 300 feet tall. So, but that's why we stack. More gain, flexibility, and being able to get all the right angles.
Here's one thing that I just drew this out. You know, me and my childish little drawings. There's one antenna. And you notice that it's, when you do that, you have a big pattern out in front. But if you stack them, it brings them down. Now you have more signal right at the point of where you're directing it to. You don't waste anything up above or down below. You have antenna beaming to the station. We do the same thing with audio when we'd go out to these big arenas. Just one little radial horn, you get to about the 30th row. But if you stacked them, they added 3 dB, 3 dB, 6 dB, and on. But the pattern was better. And I'd hope that kind of tells you a little bit. I think I'm right on that, where you pretty much with one antenna are going to have just a big balloon out in front of you. But if you stack them, that energy is focused to the receiving station. Is that correct, Tim?
Well, yes, that's absolutely correct. And the great thing is, Bob, that reciprocity exists. So we get the benefit on transmit and on receive. So it allows us to hear stations that we would have never heard with just a single antenna. And so it's amazing to switch and you hear the station. And if you go to just one antenna, he goes into the noise. So that 6 dB allows us to communicate with very low power or very modest or small short antennas in Moscow, in Tokyo, places like that, we would not be able to contact. And so many times I get a QSL card or an email that says, you're the first station in the United States that was able to hear me. I hear all these guys, but they're not able to hear me. So it's all about that stacking game.
Receiving is everything. It really is. A lot of people don't understand why you go to so much work to receive, but it's everything. I have a couple of pictures. Let's put up that first one of those two set that I sent you, Victor. This gives you a really good view of one of the stations. Go through that with us, Tim, because I think there's a few DX Engineering products in there too. But tell us about what you got and what's in that big box on the left with those two big knobs.
So this is the second station on 20 meters, and it's a full station. Of course, the ICOM IC7851 is the radio there right in the center. And the logging computer is right in front of the operator. So he's got the keyboard there, his logging screen. And then on the left is a homebrew single band amplifier. You notice that there's no band switch on it. It's just got the tune and load controls. And when you don't have to make these multi-band amplifiers, they're very simple, Bob. It just takes a few coils, few capacitors, and you're off and running. So this is a single 8877 tube. It runs 1,500 watts out, and it'll do it all day and all night, and it makes it very, very reliable that way. There's a 4,000-volt power supply on the floor. Now, is the plate supply for this. We talked about the antenna switch box, and that is right in front of the amplifier. These are custom-designed push-button antenna switch boxes, which in 2019 will be available through DX Engineering. They allow the operator maximum flexibility by just taking his left hand over there, pushing the antenna or antennas that he wants online, and they come online immediately through relays that are out at the tower. And then there's the Drake W4 watt meter, one of my favorite watt meters, right beside the computer display. And right to the left of that meter is a heads-up display that tells the operator what antennas are online. And then to the right of the display, the second station on 20 meters only has two Yagis. They're in a stack on a different tower. And so those are the two rotor boxes for the two antennas that go with the second station on 20 meters. And the second station's job during a contest is to go up and down the band and call stations that are calling CQ. The number one station, or the run station, which is over to the right of the second station, is actually calling CQ. But in between CQs, the second station's job is to go call those stations that are calling CQ. This is the 80-meter run station. This is the only station that has a multiband amplifier. And this is an Alpha 77DX. It has had new front panels and new top panels to it, so it looks brand new. This was an amplifier from a good friend of mine, John Kansas, K3TUP. And so this amplifier is nearing its 35th birthday. And W3YQ and I have rebuilt a lot of the insides of it. It's a single 8877. We use it on the 80-meter run station, and it has worked phenomenally. Very, very reliable. And but this is, and of course, a nice Heil microphone there that we use. I use that for the emergency nets that I check into on Saturdays and Sundays. So that this is part of the 80-meter run station.
That's correct.
So it gives you a little tour.
Yeah. You know, Tim, I don't go through. I should do this sometime, but I do a very similar thing here. Only I use guitar switches, Les Paul guitar switches. And why I do that is on my phased array especially, I can switch back and forth. I don't have to engage it. It's spring-loaded, so I can go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. When I get the right one, I punch it down. This is a really cool way of doing that. And I'm glad to see that DX Engineering is going to put that on the market, because I have a lot of guys ask me, how do you do that? Well, get out your soldering iron and your Greenlee punches and build it. But you're going to make it available. That's really great. Well, it's such a spectacular station. You have forgotten to mention what happened on the last contest a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we had not been successful in a CW contest for the last 3 years. And so this the one that was here a few weeks ago, just before you visited, we managed to finish high claimed, and hopefully it'll hold up after log checking, high claim number one in the U.S. So we were very, very happy about that.
Congrats. Well, we really appreciate when you come on here, because I personally learned something, and I hope everybody else does. And you have to respect K3LR, and I really enjoy coming there, because it's quite a thrill for me to visit you and see all of this stuff, especially the towers. Good grief. We'll have to have you come back sometime and show some of those recent videos from the drone. Wow.
Yes.
They were terrific.
We'll do that. We'll do that, Bob.
Well, you have a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for all you do for Ham Nation and for amateur radio.
Thanks for having me on, Bob.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking around the corner to see what's up next for K3LR, because I know it'll be something spectacular. So, Don, it looks like you might have your antenna crew sooner than you want. What do you think?
Well, I couldn't find a better one, I'll guarantee you that. Tim, I got a question from the chat room for you. Andy, KP4AAN, wants to know, and I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to let you answer it anyway. Can Tim load up that tower?
You know, I could, but I have other towers to load up. So, you know, we have a dedicated 160-meter tower, and it's got Don, you'd love this. It's got a beautiful ceramic broadcast insulator at the base of it. So,
if that's the same one that was there when I was there a few years ago, I've seen it.
Yes, you have.
I've seen it.
I'm quite proud of that. But this particular tower with all the antennas on, we don't load up, but we could if we needed to. So, in the spirit of emergency communications, and I know Andy's all about that, we could load it up in a heartbeat.
Perfect. Hey, Tim, I have a question for you. Explain to all of us what is different about, was it Pyrod? Tell everybody about the difference between that tower and a Rhone tower.
Right. So the Rhone towers are very, very good towers. And there are, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of hams that have Rhone 25, Rhone 45, Rhone 55. But the Rhone towers are pipe towers. So it's hollow in the middle, and they're very strong, and they're great for amateur radio service. The Pyrod tower is a solid leg tower. So, you know, these are 1 inch and 1 1/8 inch outside diameter, solid legs. So the whole thing is solid steel, and it's much stronger. This is what the cell towers are made out of, broadcast towers. Pyrod has been around for a long, long time. And I actually got to visit the factory many years ago and see how they were made and how it's just an extremely strong tower. But what's great is you don't have to worry about any corrosion inside the pipe of a Rhone tower. And that does happen from time to time where you can get rust in there and you don't even know it because it's inside. But in this case, the Pyrod Valmont towers are just so strong because they're solid steel legs.
Okay, thanks a lot. Don, go ahead and pick it up. I just had to ask that question because I think we all learned something from that one, right, Don?
Oh, absolutely. Great question. And I got to tell you, if you ever get the chance to go out there and first off, visit DX Engineering, you need to, and especially if you're a hot rodder, because it's inside Summit Racing over there. So, you know, I killed several birds with one stone right there. But if you ever get the chance to be lucky enough to go out and visit K3LR, Oh my Lord. Just amazing. And you'll probably see one of these laying around the K3LR station because, well, you know, Tim has got a connection with DX Engineering, and they're a fine company, and Tim's a fine guy. But I want to tell you a little bit about, this is the perfect wish book right here for the ham in your life for Christmas. If you're a YL or an XYL or just, I don't know, if you're looking for, maybe your son's a ham or your dad's a ham and you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, this is it right here. And you don't have to be in a panic either, because it's all right here. And every ham radio enthusiast in your life is going to love anything from this catalog. So just relax. DX Engineering makes it simple. Get your holiday shopping done in plenty of time. The gift that fits every station and every budget, a DX Engineering gift card. One size fits all, fits every ham, and every ham will love it. You can order your gift cards online or by phone in denominations from $25 to $500. The gift cards retain the remaining balance if not redeemed for the entire face value in one transaction. So that's good. Also, you saw that big Geochron back there on Tim's wall. The Geochron Digital 4K UHD World Clock gives you all the functionality and beauty of Geochron's famous mechanical clock, but at budget-friendly prices. I worked for WRNO Shortwave back in the 80s, and that was the first Geochron clock I ever saw, and I was just amazed by it. The Geochron 4K UHD World Clock provides magnificent displays of the Earth with sunrise, sunset rendered in real time through a small computer that plugs directly into a 4K TV. You got to supply your own TV. The clock's ham radio map set includes display of the gray line in real time, DX and international prefixes, equatorial, latitude and longitude, and tropic points of reference. Also, the provider remote control makes setup and operation a breeze. All you need is an internet connection. The digital 4K can be upgraded with free firmware and map updates. Batteries, power supply, 6-foot HDMI cable are included. And, of course, you want to look sharp as you hang out around the Christmas tree and sip your eggnog. And that's where you come out with apparel and collectibles with the DX Engineering logo. You can choose from men and women's T-shirts and polo shirts. Those sports shirts are nice. The performance knit, like Hot Rod Racing Team sports shirts, man. 24-hour wall clocks, coffee mugs, ball caps, tote bags, pocket pads, more. And if you're already thinking about field day, of course, DX Engineering's 10x10 canopy shelter makes a great gift. Sturdy metal frame shelter collapses down for easy transport in the provided carry bag. Then add a large DX Engineering water-resistant folding chairs. Get everybody in the mood for warmer days ahead. And, of course, DX Engineering wants you to make sure your gifts arrive on time. Place your orders by 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on December 19th for Christmas delivery via ground shipping. Order by phone or online at dxengineering.com. And you know DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. And like we say, most orders shipped by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. Proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is truly helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog. Shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to simplify your Christmas shopping for your favorite ham at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Good stuff, good people, just all around, just the best. Got some Christmas cards in the mail. This was kind of cool. We got one from Bob and Sarah Heil. This was very nice. Look at this. Isn't that beautiful? It's a card from the Heils. Very nice. That's and of course, always get one from the Buzzard Flock, the Buzzard Crew. But this one right here, just out of the blue. May your holidays be merry and bright. Has a beautiful cardinal. And here in South Mississippi, we have a lot of cardinals down here on our property. But this is from Mark, KE0GXB. Thank you for all you do for ham radio. You're a great guy. Well, isn't that nice? Mark, thank you so much. It's always like getting nice things in the mail. So thank you all for the Christmas cards. Right now, though, let's move over and check out the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. And we've got a solar report from Dr. T. Let's do that now. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2145, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 12, 2018. The newest amateur radio satellite is now in beacon mode. Newsline anchor Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, has more.
At different times of the day, depending on where you are in the world, you might point your HT skyward. Tune it to 145.920 and hear this.
Box 1 quest. Safe mode.
That voice beacon also has a telemetry stream, sending back data to AMSAT North America using subaudible tones, giving the status of the Fox One Cliff satellite, which was among numerous ham radio satellites, launched on December 3rd from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. It was activated a few hours later. Paul Stetzer, N8HM, the executive vice president of AMSAT North America, told Newsline that it's still in the testing phase, so it's for listening only. Sometime after the second week of December, AMSAT hopes to enable operations on the 70-centimeter and 23-centimeter uplink frequencies as well, but not just yet. Meanwhile, hams are encouraged to listen for this transmission of initial telemetry with the beacon on the satellite's passes and then join the more than 110 amateurs around the world who already have uploaded details to the organization's servers at amsat.org.
The numbers are in for Jamboree on the Air and Internet.
Jamboree on the Air in the United States brought out 10,700 scouts, 4,005 visitors, and 266 reporting stations. This was a 36% increase in scouts and nearly 18% increase in reporting stations. It was a busy weekend for all, including those participating in Jamboree on the Internet, which saw an increase of 300% in activity. I see this as a call to the amateur radio community to double our efforts for next year. Our featured station in the report this year was K4L at Camp La Noche in Paisley, Florida, which reported, "This was our first official Jodo Jody at our camp in over a decade. We had a sold-out weekend of 1,800 Cub Scouts for Cub Halloween and Fall Festival. We set up our new 60-foot tower and used everything under the sun, HF, VHF, UHF, D-Star, DMR, and Fusion. With five hams and 5 to 10 helpers throughout the day, we managed to get everything through our two little pop-up tents." Congratulations to them and to all the other units and amateurs that helped to make this year such a great success.
Speaking of numbers, we have some telling figures about ham radio licenses in the U.S., and the news is good. Again, here's Neil Rapp.
If you're licensed in the U.S. and ever feel like you're in diminishing company, think again. Kyle Pilquist, KD0NDG, reported on his blog recently that his study of the FCC database, along with some number crunching, revealed that our hobby still enjoys good health indeed. He reports on his blog that the ratio of new members to canceled licenses is 1.4 to 1. Kyle writes, quote, "So you could say for every cancellation, we have almost 1.5 new licenses to replace that with," end quote. Although the FCC told Newsline it could not confirm the trend, Kyle observed, the ARRL's Dave Isker, N1RSN, told Newsline that yes, indeed, there is a slight uptick in the number of licenses the league tracks. Dave said it might be due to the emphasis these days on STEM education and a focus on technology, along with the exposure amateur radio got during the hurricanes of 2017. Whatever the reason, we all welcome the news and the company on the air.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We're calming down from an extended patch of fast solar wind that has kept us at unsettled conditions for over a week. And we've got some new active regions that have rotated into Earth view that should brighten your day. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is finally beginning to calm down. We've been experiencing some moderately fast wind from an extended but patchy coronal hole, and that has brought us some gorgeous aurora at high latitudes while it's kept us at unsettled conditions for over a week. As a matter of fact, we actually bumped up to active conditions for a short while, but it didn't last long enough to get us any real decent aurora down at mid-latitudes. Nonetheless, the shows are beginning to wane a little bit as the solar wind speed begins to slow down. Now, the one thing is that we do actually have another weak coronal hole that is rotated into Earth view. It itself is also kind of collapsing, and it'll bring us some patchy fast wind, probably not anything like the show that we just saw, but that would rotate into the Earth strike zone in about 7 days or so. So we could get a little bit more shows at high latitudes before all of this is over. But the big story are the three bright regions that have rotated into Earth view. As a matter of fact, one of them actually emerged on the Earth-facing disk, and this region will likely get a number, region 2730, if it continues to grow like this. So these regions are good news for amateur radio and shortwave radio responders. We have now boosted the solar flux back up into the 70s. This means marginal radio propagation again for everyone, and these conditions could easily last over the next week. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see the X-ray flux continues to be extremely low, and therefore by proxy the solar flux is low. Now back around December 5th, we started to see that X-ray flux rise just a little bit. This was due to active region 2729 emerging out of the sun's surface, and it's kept the X-ray flux a little bit elevated. You can even see a few solar flares being popped. They're real tiny ones. But it kept the solar flux elevated until it started rotating out out of Earth view back around the 9th and the 10th. Now, the only thing that's kept that X-ray flux from tanking and therefore the solar flux from completely tanking are the new three regions that are now in Earth view. And one of them, region 2730, I think it's going to be numbered. If it continues to grow, we will be watching it for like mild flare activity. But don't worry, it's no threat for radio blackouts. But it will keep the solar flux boosted back into the 70s, hopefully for the next week. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see the last time we actually were really quiet was clear back at the end of November. Since then, we've had several coronal holes are kind of patchy and extended that have brought us up to unsettled conditions. You can see the first one ramped up at the first week of December, and it even bumped us up to active conditions for a short while, or right around December 3rd. Then that one kind of calmed down a little bit, and we got hit again by a second patchy kind of extended coronal hole that brought us some more moderately fast solar wind, and that ramped us back up to unsettled conditions around the 7th and even bumped us up to active conditions around the end of the 9th. And then since then, we're still kind of sitting at unsettled conditions, but we're ramping back down again, and we should go finally back to quiet conditions here nearing the end of the week. So what else does our sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what's going on? Well, not much. We've got a lone active region on the sun's backside right now. And that's what it is during solar minimum. There's just not a lot to report. The nice news is that as this region begins to rotate to the west limb in Stereo's view, you do see the new active regions emerging on that side of the disk. That's actually already in Earth view. So those are the active regions that are brightening our day in Earth's view and boosting that radio propagation. And what's nice is that that will easily continue for the next week and possibly 2 weeks if those regions continue to grow. But after that, there's not much going on. So enjoy these 2 weeks because we could drop off to absolutely nothing. Now, you aurora photographers, you're also going to be dealing with kind of a bland landscape here for the next couple weeks because there's not much in the way of coronal holes either, and the sun just isn't launching any solar storms. So we could easily go back to quiet conditions over the next 2 weeks after we get through this one last burst of fast wind. And, you know, enjoy the quiet time. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we're still experiencing the waning fast solar wind from this extended coronal hole. And so we are going to continue to expect unsettled conditions. And as a matter of fact, at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with about a 25% chance of a minor storm. Now, at mid-latitudes, we're expecting normal to unsettled conditions with about a 15 to 20% chance of a active conditions. And this will continue easily over the next few days and possibly into close to the end of the week before things really begin to quiet down. And then in about a week's time, we are going to expect to see another short burst of fast wind from yet another kind of patchy coronal hole, but it could bring us some more aurora chances, especially at high latitudes. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to solar flares. Now, we do have a few active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now, but they are not flare producers. So you GPS users, you should be very happy on Earth's day side. Reception should be wonderful. Now, because of these regions, though, we do have a boosted solar flux. So amateur and shortwave radio and emergency responders, you should be very happy. We're back into the 70s for solar flux, which means you have marginal radio propagation again. And these conditions could easily continue over this entire week, possibly even longer, if these regions continue to stay active. Now, also because we are in solar minimum, the cosmic ray penetration is a bit more than we normally would have it. So you frequent flyers, and this includes air crew who fly more than 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you are still at a moderate risk for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is finally beginning to calm down. We've been sitting at essentially unsettled conditions since the beginning of December. And this has been due to some moderately fast wind from several coronal holes that have been rotating through the Earth's strike zone. But finally, things are slowing down and slowing down. We've got a little bit of activity still left, probably going to hit us around the weekend, maybe into early next week. But that should get us back to unsettled conditions only for high latitudes. Could bring us a little bit more aurora show, and then things will really quiet down. And that may last for the next couple weeks. So aurora photographers, it looks like you're finally going to get a little bit of a respite. Now, the other story is we have three active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now, and they have bumped up the solar flux back into the 70s. So this means amateur and shortwave operators, as well as your emergency responders. Hey, the radio propagation is back up to the marginal range, and you should be able to enjoy that here over the next week and possibly over the next 2 weeks before things begin to settle back down. Now, also, we have you GPS users. Your reception on Earth's day side right now should look pretty good. But as these storms begin to quiet down and space weather gets quiet again, well, on Earth's night side, you might have a little trouble at low latitudes. So as long as you stay clear of the dawn dust terminators, your reception should stay pretty good. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thanks, Dr. T. Always great stuff. Make sure you follow her on Twitter and Periscope and spaceweatherwoman.com. And if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's at Tamitha Scove. In fact, as Gordon, I'm expecting her at any moment to tweet a bulletin about your shirt. It's so bright, that's why I have my shades on, because that shirt of yours.
Yes, this is a solar eruption, thanks to my wife.
And well, a swanky tie, too, I must say. Very swanky tie. Looking good.
Right. It is bandwidth versus baud rate. And if you are an emergency communicator that Tamitha was talking about, you need to tune in, because wind link plays a very important part in emergency communications on high frequencies, limited to 300 baud right now by FCC rules. But there's a proposal and there's a counter proposal about expanding out to 2.8 kilohertz for wind link and some of the other digital modes. So stay tuned in. There's not a decision yet, but it's an important one, especially if you're into WindLink and doing digital. Hey, we got to get more kids into the hobby. January 5th, says Barry, K6 Sierra Tango, the ARRL Kids on the Air Day. And this is going to be a great event, and we're going to talk more about on January 2nd. And the Southern Nevada Amateur Radio Society is really getting behind getting the local kids on the air. Well, we met a lot of great kids on our trip to Arizona. The Mesa Superstition Ham Fest was a great one. We had club meetings that we attended, and it was so neat to meet all of the friendly Arizona hams. Also, Bob Miller, K2RM. Bob, as you recall, was the VP of Radio Shack that brought in all of the ham radio handhelds that we all remember years ago. And, of course, Roger with Wired Co., Wired Communications, he was there with all sorts of gadgets and goodies. And our Arizona trip was topped off by Fred doing our QRZ ham radio 25th anniversary. And you chat room folks, you stuck with us for about 20 minutes as we were getting all the wires squared away, because just before Fred's show, we had it on YouTube, and we were pretty busy, but he got it all squared away. And on our way home, we went by Quartzsite, Arizona, and we all know the importance of quartz, right? This we found on the ground just looking at where our Quartz Fest is going to take place about a month from now, the last full week of January. And, of course, quartz is what goes into these. And, Don, you remember that. That was the good old quartz crystal that got smaller and then smaller yet. And then smaller, well, you get the idea of what it was like in the old days to take these apart and with Ipana toothpaste go like this to make the crystal thinner to go higher in frequency, or a smiling face to go lower in frequency. Well, when we pulled out of Quartz Fest with our communications van, we'd been operating HF and VHF and UHF all day long, and our back batteries were so low that the van alternator tripped off the a fuse. Or actually, it was a circuit breaker, and we had no charging power to drive 300 miles home. And I thought, I wonder how far you can go without an alternator. Well, after about an hour watching the voltage getting slightly lower and lower, it occurred to me I had a BioNO battery. Well, we put the BioNO battery in parallel to the vehicle's 12-volt source. We had disconnected via a big switch our back batteries that were pulling the alternator and that circuit breaker down. And the BioNO popped us back up to 13.2, and we drove 200 miles more to make it home safe and sound, thanks to the hardworking, walloping 12-amp-hour BioNO battery. So we can't say enough about nickel metal hydride batteries. They really do a great job. Lithium iron phosphate. There we go. Lithium iron phosphate, the BioNO battery. And these really are great for emergency communications. So that's my story. And George, you were probably all blurry-eyed and wide-eyed at the towers that Tim Duffy was showing. So George, what's new with you and towers, George?
Well, I need a new tower here because mine is an old Rhone tower that it was an old TV antenna tower, and it's starting to get a little rust on it, and I'm not going to really want to climb it or send anybody up it anytime soon with the way it's looking now. So I need to consider replacing that pretty soon. But other towers, yeah, I've been to a few towers lately, a couple of the 1,000-footers. I don't climb them, though. I let somebody else do that these days. I never did climb to 1,000 feet, though. 400's the highest I've ever been. But, I like that Tim mentioned about the one he's got there sitting on the insulator from an AM broadcast station. That's really neat stuff there. Of course, you know, you got to put insulators in your guy wires and all that, too. But they really do make good radiators. So, it was good to see that tonight. And that looked like a really nice tower for ham radio applications. They're good and heavy duty, that pie rod. Can't go wrong with that. The only thing, though, if you get over, 200 feet and above, you got to light it. So I'm not sure what I would use for lighting if I had to do that. You know, a lot of the new ones are strobe lit. A lot of the old ones, though, still have incandescent bulbs. Well, on Smoke and Solder tonight, I do want to mention a couple of things. First is, we didn't do it last week. The week before, though, I had a video from our friend Larry, and he was showing us the Drock LM2596 power supply, actually it was a buck converter that made a good, handy power regulator there. I got an email here from Ralph Decker, N7TND, and he said he saw the converter there, but he would caution you using it for, the ham environment where noise is a concern for our receivers. He bought a few of them and put it on a repeater PA to set the power output levels, but the RF spectrum on the transmitter became very noisy on the spectrum analyzer. And it was noticeable in the repeater audio. As a matter of fact, he sent me a screenshot here from his scope. And, that is a little nasty looking there. After a bit of hunting, he found that the converters were the issue. They've got poor filtering. He wouldn't recommend it in a critical RF environment. So, I wouldn't either, Ralph. But for other stuff, it's probably just what you want. If you've got, if you're dealing with RF, I would say particularly around receivers too, that might be an issue, and you might want to stay away from that type of power supply. Well, tonight, also 2 weeks ago, I mentioned about, and I showed a video on how you'd measure the characteristic impedance of a cable, an unknown cable, using an MFJ-259 analyzer. And I wondered if you could do that with some of the digital graphic analyzers. Well, I got around to testing that out, so let's take a look. A couple of weeks ago on Smoke and Solder, I showed you how to use an MFJ-259 to check the characteristic impedance of an unknown coax, and I made the comment that I wonder if this would work with some of the graphene analyzers that really don't mention that in the directions. I gathered all the graphene analyzers that I had access to and ran some tests with them as well just to see. The first one we're going to look at here is the Rig Expert AA230 Zoom. This is a nice analyzer I got from DX Engineering. We're going to want to look at resistance and reactance, so I select the RX chart there. And then we'll want to set our frequency range, and we're going to sweep, say, between as low as we can go, which is 100 hertz, and 100 megahertz there. Really don't have to do it quite that wide, but that's what we're going to do here. Get my cable out. This, actually, I found the same cables that I used when I shot that other video way back when. This was the one we called unknown. Let's check our load. We used a 100-ohm resistor last time. This time I'm going to use a 50-ohm terminator. We just need a resistance somewhere between 50 and 100 ohms with very low reactance. Let's check this one and see what we read there. Well, we can tell it's pretty much right on the money at 50 ohms and zero reactance. Let's just look at the chart there to see. Yeah, 51.3 ohms and minus 1.07 ohms of reactance. We'll terminate our coax with that resistor. And now we'll sweep that line. And we can see several places here it's flat topping on the resistance, the yellow there. That's because the display here can only show 75 ohms. Although the unit can actually measure higher than that, it just can't display it on the chart here. So we want to go now and find the peaks and the valleys. We'll look through the peaks here. Let's choose one in the middle there on resistance. And we want that to coincide with a dip as close as we can to zero on the reactance. Let's zoom on in a little bit where we can get a little better accuracy there. I think we went through it. Yeah, that looks like that's about going to be it right there. So let's look at the chart of the data. We've got 93.2 ohms, and the reactance is a positive 4.13. Well, we need to write down the 93.2 ohms there. So now we'll go back out to the chart. This time we're looking for a dip in the resistance there, and you can do this at several different frequencies, and you probably should to get the best results. So let's see if we can get that resistance as low as possible. It's going to be right along in here, and you can see the reactance now. Still, we're not down to zero, but minus 4.82. Let's zoom on in and look a little closer. 55 ohms and 4.82. So let's pull out a calculator now. And we'll say the 55 ohms times the earlier reading of 93.2 ohms. And then we take the square root of that. That tells us 71 and a half ohms. This is a 75 ohm cable. It's RG6, so That's pretty good. That's pretty close. I don't remember what I had on that 259B when I measured it there, but that's pretty close. I can safely say this is not a 50-ohm cable. This is a 75-ohm cable. Let's try it with our other test cable now. This one, we know it's a 50-ohm cable. It's a piece of RG58. So let's go back and do our measurements on it. We'll sweep it first. And you can see it's looking much flatter here. And that's because it's a 50-ohm load at the end of that 50-ohm cable. Let's go through the peaks. This looks like the tallest one right here. That looks like the best we can do there. So let's see, we got 64 ohms and a minus 4.47. So I'll write down 64. And now we'll look at the dips. Fifty-seven point nine six, fifty-two, 50.54 looked to be about the dip there. A minus 3.34 on the reactance. We can get the reactance lower, but that's going to be the lowest resistance right there. So 50.5 ohms. Now we'll do the same thing we did before. Since we don't have a slide rule, we're going to use the calculator here. 64 ohms from the first reading, the peak, times 50 ohms from this reading. Square root of that, 56. That doesn't look so good, does it? I think we can do better than that. So it's not 50 ohms, but it's close enough that we can say this is a 50-ohm cable and not a 75 or 100-ohm cable. So you can actually do this using one of the graphing type of antenna analyzers. Now, I tried this with a couple of other analyzers as well, actually three others. This MFJ226, I got good results with it. It read it right away, no problems at all. Same way this one did. I use the same procedure here on the MFJ225. It did virtually the same reading, so we know that that one will work. I tried it here with this analyzer, the MFJ266C. I like this analyzer, and it does not say it can do that measurement. And actually, no, I didn't get good results with it. So out of the four I tried here, three of them worked. And then you throw in the 259 that I used. That's four different analyzers. That procedure will work. So that's my little experiment there. You can measure characteristic impedance of a cable with most antenna analyzers. So four out of five analyzers that I had available would close enough tell me what impedance that cable was. So that's good information to know, because all of them don't have that in the instructions or say that's a feature you can do. So interesting to know that can be done. We'll probably take a look at some more tricks and things you can do with antenna analyzers out of the maybe not ordinary applications. But we'll look at some in the future here and see how they can be a big help to you. Well, you know, last week, no, it wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago when I was here. I asked a question out of Gordo's General Class Amateur Radio Study Guide. And we were talking about, which of the following describes how a speech processor affects a transmitted single sideband phone signal? It increases peak power. It increases average power. It reduces harmonic distortion, or it reduces intermodulation distortion. Well, Eric Van Horn, K0EV, knew the answer. He said, George, it increases the average power. And that is correct. A speech processor can increase your average power, help you break through and get that transmission across in difficult circumstances. They can also be quite annoying if you overuse them when you've got good signals there. So use your speech processor judiciously. for next week, I've got another question. We're going to ask this since we talked about it tonight. What popular device greatly increases the speed of tuning an antenna for resonance? If you think you know the answer, send it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And you could win one of these that I'm wearing right here. Not mine. I'm keeping this one, but the DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirt. DX Engineering logo on the front and a giant one in the back there. Very comfortable. And, hey, it could be yours for just the cost of sending me an email and telling me the answer. What popular device greatly increases the speed of tuning an antenna for resonance? All right, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. A couple other things I want to mention before I go is Randy is collecting your photos of projects that you're working on. He wants to know what you've been building, soldering, wrenching, or drilling. Let Randy know. He's working on a segment there. No videos, photos, please. Send them to k7age@outlook.com, and he's about got enough here together for a segment, and he's collecting more. So send your photos to Randy and show him what you've been building. Another thing I wanted to mention is this Friday night we're going to have the Amateur Logic Christmas Spectacular episode. It'll be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 0200 UTC. Live.amateurlogic.tv. Join us there and see what kind of mayhem we get into. We've got a few special things lined up there. It's always a fun show, and our friend Mike, VE3MIC, is going to join us, and hijinks will ensue. Well, I'll be back in just a moment, but first, let's get a message from ICOM.
For the love of the holidays, surprise your favorite ham this season with the gift that's on their hot list. The holidays are just around the corner, and ICOM has plenty of cheer for everyone. IC7610, the SDR every ham wants, and just in time for the holidays. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR. RF direct sampling system, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. IC7300, changing the way entry-level HF is designed. This high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. ICR30, raise the bar on DC to daylight receivers. Powerful yet easy to use, the ICR30 is packed full of features you've come to expect from ICOM. Built-in GPS and Bluetooth, dual bandwidth recording, high-speed scan, and there's an Android and iOS app available. The perfect stocking stuffer, the ID51A Plus 2 provides new modes for extended D-Star coverage. Enjoy integrated GPS, independent AM/FM receiver, and free Android apps. Terminal and access point mode, send and receive text messages and pictures. DV fast data mode, and easy FM repeater setting. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Throw your name in the hat. Register to win great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And you'll also be entered in the monthly grand prize drawing when you do that. ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Get the official rules and check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. For December, that prize is going to be the ICOM ID5100A dual band, dual watt D-Star transceiver, large touchscreen display operation, DV dual watch and DVFM, built-in GPS, DVFM repeater list function, SD memory card slot, and so much more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode. Sign up and register to win. Good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now I'm going to throw it back to Bob because I think we have more special guests.
Thanks, George. It's always good to hear some of the things that you have for us. We all learn something. I know I do. I'll tell you, I really do. Well, you know, it's Christmas time, and there's a very special thing that happens on the amateur radio bands, and we have the guy that kind of puts it together, and that's KE5GGY, Pete. Pete, are you with us tonight?
Yeah, I'll tell him that. Okay.
Oh, hi. Yeah, hi, Bob. I was just talking to Santa on the phone from here at Stone Mountain. How are you doing tonight? He had a message for you and Gordo. Did you want me to give it to you now? He said,
go ahead.
The good news, and this is live from the North Pole. We'll see Santa in a second, but he said, good news this year is that all the Ham Nation hosts are on the good list. However, he's very concerned about yours and Gordo's wardrobe. So he's going to send you some new wardrobe at Christmas. He'll be bringing that down. Yeah. He's very concerned about yours, Bob, as well. So anyway.
That'll work.
Clearly
absolutely.
An oversight on my part.
The fashion police have busted you. Anyway, hey, it's great to be here. Merry Christmas, my friend. It seems like we talk every Christmas.
Yes, we do. And we talk a few other times. Tell the audience what goes on with some of the things you do every night. It's really entertaining, educational, and so much fun. What happens there?
Well, we have a fun time on 3916, 3.916 megahertz on the 80-meter band. And if you've ever thought that there's not a place that's friendly on 80 meters, check out 3916. We have fun from 7 o'clock Central all the way up past midnight with a variety of nets. We have trivia at 9 o'clock every night. In fact, it's going on right now as we speak. And right now during the holiday, during the Christmas season, Santa is on with us every night live from the North Pole at 7:30 p.m. Central. So if you have kids or grandkids, neighbor kids, get them in your shack and get on 3916. It's well before 7:30, 7:15 or so, pre-net check-ins, and be part of the Santa Net. And to get a pre-net check-in, just go to cqsanta.com. I think you're rolling some graphics there that show the website. But it is a lot of fun. Bob, this is our 13th year of connecting good boys and girls to the North Pole, and it's just and there's some great pictures, as you can see. It's it is a tremendous experience. We love it on 3916.
Oh, that's great. Pete, could I get Sarah to check in and maybe see if I could get her to, like, you know, do some things for me. I need a couple of new radios. Maybe you guys would be the ones to help her connect with Santa, huh?
I know some people that know some people. We can help you out with that.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I listen to the net a lot. There's so much going on there, and I like that when you do the trivias every night, and so all you trivia fans, you want to check into that. But we especially want to take the time here during the holidays to bring the kids and the grandchildren, give them a real thrill when they can really talk to Santa. So, Pete, thanks so much for all the efforts of you and everybody on 3916. And we'll come and join you again, do another one of the tech nets. That's really kind of fun also.
Well, you know, Don mentioned on the news the need to get new people involved in ham radio. And one of the neat benefits of the SantaNet, Bob, is we're introducing young people, you know, 7, 8, 9 years of age, even younger, to ham radio. And we have a list of around 20 hams that are now hams because they were introduced to ham radio on SantaNet. So think about young people in your life. This is a great way to build up our ham nation, no pun intended.
Absolutely. Well, Pete, thank you so very much for joining us, and we'll see if we can get old Santa to give us our dreams and hopes, something like that, huh?
So, yeah, we're going to get Santa
we'll
on.
We'll catch
in a minute,
you on 3960.
Right? All right, yeah. Santa will be coming up. Yeah. I guess we're going to try to do a connection to the North Pole. So stand by.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, Don, I hope that you've been behaving so you can maybe get in on the goodies, huh?
Oh, well, I've been behaving. Yeah, I'm just not going to tell you whether it's been good or bad, but I've definitely been behaving in one manner or the other. Yes, I have. And pardon me while I go incognito here. While we get Santa on the horn. Santa, are you there? Do we have Santa Claus? We're trying to make the connection now. Do we have Santa Claus? We're still working on getting Santa Claus. All right, good. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do while we're working on getting Santa Claus. I want to tell you, you got to check out the 3916 net, but we have the after show nets as well. I can't see what these silly things on. The Echolink after show net, of course, on the Dew Drop In 355-800. D-Star is on 14 Charlie. DMR is on TAC 311. And our HF nets are going to try 3905 and 7192 tonight. So get out there and make sure that you get with our fabulous net controllers. They do a fabulous job. And we're still trying to make that. That's a very long distance. That's rare DX up to the North Pole. I mean, you've got to hit that. I don't know if we're going long path. I'm not exactly sure what the circuitous route is. Maybe we need some Christmas blessings here. We'll get the gold line out and see if we can do anything. Hey, how are we doing with that now? Yeah,
Don, let's play a little music and see if we can bring him in with some of this. What do you think? Let's see.
Oh, go. We'll try anything at this point.
When's the last time you saw a record twin? Let's see. Yeah, see if you can get him now. I bet he's going to show up.
Oh, Don, how are you? Merry Christmas.
I was beginning to lose faith there. I still believe, Santa, but I was beginning to believe that we weren't going to make that connection this year. Now, wait a minute. I heard a rumor that I'm on the nice list. That clearly has to be an oversight.
Well, at least you're wearing decent clothing. I don't know about your cohorts on the program, but yes, you look very good, Don. Merry Christmas. You're looking mighty spiffy. Look at Bob there in his pajamas. What's going on over there in Missouri?
I'm looking saintly. I'm looking very saintly.
Oh, what do you think of my beard? I just grew it.
It's fabulous.
Good stuff. Walmart.
Only the best for jolly old Saint Nick.
Excuse me. Anyway, anything you'd like this year, Don, now that you've been a good boy for once, what are we going to do?
I don't know. See, I'm shocked by the whole thing. So that's what you've left me completely just unprepared. I'm never on the nice list.
Last year this happened was 1972, I think. Yes, 72 was the last year you were good, so...
Yeah, anyway, I was too young. I was too young to be bad in 72. I don't know. You know what? I want a nice roll of Kester solder. That's what I want. The lead variety. I like to get a little lead in my solder, if you know what I'm saying.
We'll bring you a pallet down. How's that sound? That should last you a while.
I think so. George goes through it pretty quick, but. George, what do you want for Christmas? You've got a nice hat on there. You're dressed nicely.
Well, thank you. And yeah, lead solder does sound pretty nice there, Don. I don't know how much of that Santa will want to carry in the sleigh, though. It might kind of get the team tired carrying that much lead.
Well, for you, we'll bring it down to you, George. Is that what you want too, solder? Is that all you guys can think of? What's the matter with you guys?
Well, Duffy's going to come put my tower up, apparently, so I don't need tower help. Because apparently Tim Duffy's going to do that. So, you know.
You got to think big, Don. You got to think big. That's good. That's good. Think big. Roan Towers, too. That's all I carry on my sled. Roan's the best.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Yes. What does Mr. Heil want? Hello, Mr. Heil. Where are you there in your pajamas? Are you with us?
There you are.
After this past year that we've been through, all I can dream about is good health, because it's been a little bit of turmoil this year. But we're on the other side of the fence, and I think we're going to make it, Santa.
Well, it's good news, and we've been hearing about your good news, and a lot of friends up here have been praying for you. We're glad to hear that. Congratulations.
You know, Santa, I was thinking, I can't think of a thing that I want, because I got the best gift ever earlier this year. And in fact, it was another holiday. This actually happened on Valentine's Day. I found my birth family. So I found a sister that I never knew I had, cousins, aunts and uncles that I never knew I had. And so I have been blessed beyond means. So whatever you were thinking of giving me, give that to somebody else who deserves it more, because I have my sister and cousins and aunt and uncle and I have everything that I need.
Now that is the spirit of Christmas.
Yes.
Ho, ho.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I do have to tell you, Santa, that I ended up with the great gift this year from my friend WA4FTY. He gave me this little Mars transmitter. This is a 1955 transmitter for your car. If you can think about hanging this underneath your dash, and that's just a transmitter. And I can't wait to put it on the air. And this is my gift for electronics this year from my good friend Wayne, the Mars Thunderbird transmitter. So what else?
What a great gift. And you, have, Lord knows you need another radio or two.
No, I'm okay there, but I am going to put this on the air so we can have some fun. So got our health, got our radios, and got our friends and all of the wonderful people that watch this show here every Wednesday night and beyond. And I really appreciate you coming by and just making it joyous for us.
Well, you guys bless a lot of people. Merry Christmas, everybody. And be sure to join me on 3916 every night through Christmas Eve, 7:30 p.m. Good boys and girls and an occasional bad one like Don. We'll talk to anybody. Come on by.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Man. That's great.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Well, we've had a good amount of fun tonight, and I hope that everybody had a good time. We want you to come back here next Wednesday because we even have even crazier things going on then. So share this with your friends. Tell all your hams. Find out why they are not watching if they don't watch. And those that do are join in telling you how much fun we have. And we learn a lot of things right here. So thanks very much to the entire TWIT organization, Leo Laporte. Victor has been a real saint through the year of keeping us all going when some of us aren't, and all of the hosts. So we'll see you back here next week, right here on Ham Nation. Thanks very much for watching. This is K9EIT.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 I'm hungry.